I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the
where we discuss
the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, she went absolutely ballistic when I started talking. She is sitting right next to me. Thank you for being here today, Aaliyah.
Yeah, welcome. Anytime.
And I actually did like 3 seconds. I thought I was going to make it.
I know. I was concerned for a second.
And then I just couldn't. So I didn't actually think you were going to do anything because you were distracted by texting.
That's what I wanted you to think.
Well, it worked. Aaliyah is home from college for the holiday. So happy to have her. How's life treating you out at BYU?
Very good. Having a good time.
How have you enjoyed your time in sunny California over the holiday?
Well, the weather is much nicer out here, that's for sure.
Yep. You got a couple inches of snow back at college.
Yep.
But you're here, and it was 70 degrees and sunny today, so welcome to California. We also have today with us Rivka and Burke. How are you two today?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Awesome. We haven't done the weather thing for a while, so how's your Pacific Northwestern weather, Burke?
It was clear and cold today. It was about 30 degrees when I got up this morning, but it wasn't raining, so I'll take it.
30? Yeah. That's a little chilly.
It was chilly.
Yeah. Rivka, how are you enjoying the cold weather?
It's great. Fireplaces are on. Slippers are on. Blankets are cozy. I love it.
Lots of candles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
And the Christmas tree's up.
Fire? Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Do you have wood-burning fireplaces or gas?
Gas.
Okay. Well, sounds very cozy and wonderful. So, well, with our discussion of weather out of the way, obligatory minimum once a month, we have to talk about that. So we'll move on to our talk today, which is God Knows and Loves You by Elder Alan T. Phillips. A great talk about God's plan of happiness, our identities as children of God, with a great story about losing his son at a rest stop on a car trip. And this happens to be Aaliyah's favorite talk from conference. Is it still your favorite?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it since I first listened to them all. So.
Okay. Well, whether it's your favorite or not, what was your fundamental doctrine from this talk?
Well, near the beginning, he has a paragraph here, and I want to highlight two parts of it as my fundamental doctrine. One is, knowing that we are all children of God and members of his eternal family will restore a sense of belonging and purpose. So basically, our knowledge of our identity gives us belonging and purpose. And the other part of that paragraph that I really like says, life is challenging. And I think that is fundamental because knowing that God loves us, knowing that he has a plan, and knowing that will help us have purpose, it just is good, I think, to set our expectations for this life, because if we assume that life isn't or shouldn't be as challenging as it is, then maybe we'll start to doubt those other things that we know about God and his plan. But if we know God and his plan and the fact that life is challenging and those don't contradict themselves in our brains, then I think things are a lot easier, not easier, simpler, and we can exercise faith maybe more instinctively instead of just being upset that life is hard, because that's kind of the point. That's why we're here, because it's hard. So
awesome. I don't think easier is necessarily the wrong word. It does lighten our burden.
Right. That's true.
So not easy, but
easier. Yeah.
Now, other than repeatedly watching Lion King clips, how have you learned that you are a child of God? What experiences have you had that have helped you internalize that?
Just lots of experiences with God, answering prayers, or just having experiences with him and just feeling his love going to the temple, learning the doctrine there, those kinds of things, testifying of that for other people.
Mm. These sound like fundamentals.
Indeed.
Yeah. So it's almost like just part of your testimony.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Well, I love that. And that definitely was a key part of this talk here, is instilling that sense of belonging and family. Next, we have Burke. What was your fundamental doctrine?
All right. Mine is very closely related. But he says here, I've reflected on the divine identity and importance of God's children, the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, and the perfect love of a Father in heaven who knows you and me. So I think along with that purpose that Aaliyah just talked about is an understanding that we really do have a Father in heaven, like an actual Father who really loves us because he's our Father, and that he knows us. And I like that. It's easy, I'd say easy to forget that, but I think we have forgotten by default being born here. So I don't know. I think sometimes it's hard to learn that in the first place, but then also very important to remember it. So,
right. How do you remember that when you forget it, Burke?
For me, it's calling, and this is the same answer I give every time you ask a question like this, but there are some moments in my life, which I'm not going to share in detail here, when I know that God spoke directly to me, either with feelings or promptings, guidance I needed at the time, that just couldn't have been my thoughts, couldn't have been my reasoning. There's no other way really for me to describe it other than to know that there are experiences in my life where I had to acknowledge that the hand of God was pushing me in a direction. So,
do you have those written down? Is it a journal, or you just bring them to mind? How do you reflect on them?
I bring them to mind generally when I'm having those moments when everything gets called into question by something else that's happened in life, or a disappointment, or when another member of my family decides to leave the church, those kind of moments.
Sure. It's amazing to me. I've done similar things, how I can be in a state of doubt or confusion, and then I bring one of those to mind, and all of a sudden clarity returns, and with simplicity. So I appreciate that. And when he says I have reflected, he was referring to his story with Jasper. We'll come to that in a bit here, but let's go to Rivka's fundamental doctrine.
Okay. He is talking to the rising generation, and he says, please know faith requires work. We live in a time when for many, only seeing is believing. Faith can be challenging and requires choices, but prayers are answered and answers can be felt. And some of the most real things in life are not seen. They are felt, known, and experienced, and they too are real. And I really liked the reminder that faith requires work. It is a thing of high value, so it makes sense that it would be something that requires effort and sacrifice to have and to grow. But sometimes it's tempting to want it to be something that's just like comes naturally or is super easy, is just there, or to justify it just not being there as a reason to not pursue it. So anyway, I like that reminder that faith requires work and that it can be challenging, but it can be, we can receive it.
Awesome. Is there an experience in your life, Rivka, where having faith was challenging?
Probably lots. It's always challenging. Do you mean to have it? Like, it's challenging to have faith when you're being challenged about it by those who either don't or would like you to not have it or to have less of it. It's been challenging anytime acting in accordance to my values and faith requires me to put my own wishes or my own desires or my own sour attitude or pride aside. it's hard to have faith when we act in the faith that we have when it goes against what maybe our natural inclination is.
Okay, so when you're challenged from outside or from inside, it can be hard.
Yeah.
What kind of work does it take to grow our faith? You focused on that word there.
Yeah. I mean, the first one he says is prayers, but I think it's the same fundamentals. This is because faith is, it's one of the first principles and ordinances of the gospel. So it really is a fundamental thing. And in order to build that foundation, we have to do the fundamental things that God asks us to do. So praying and reading our scriptures and serving people, repenting, and acting with faith, even if we're required in an instance to act with greater faith than we feel we might have.
I like that. Aaliyah's answer talked a lot about testimony, mm-hmm. and so building testimony. And faith sometimes takes that extra step of acting, even when we don't know the outcome. So I really like that answer. Awesome. Okay, well, let's go back to Aaliyah. Aaliyah, he tells this awesome story about his son, Jasper. Can you recap the story in a fantastic British accent like he has?
No.
How about just in your regular accent?
Basically, his family was on vacation. They were traveling. And they stopped at a gas station, I think. And they, like, got back in. And they started driving away. And then they were in the car driving away. And one of their kids was like, wait. Where's Jasper?
Oh, nice.
And the parents were like, we don't know. And so it turns out they had left their kid. He had just escaped them, I guess. And so they went back and they called the police. And then late after like 40 minutes from when they left the place, they went back and they found him. And he was inside one of the police cars, like playing with all the buttons and stuff. And so the reason he shares that story is because he compares that parable, I guess, to the Savior or Heavenly Father gathering us or finding us being found and those kinds of things. So that kind of return to what things should be.
Yeah. We as parents, you are wise, Aaliyah, and spiritual, but I'm going to pull the parent card here. I don't know if you can possibly imagine the sheer and utter panic terror of thinking that you have lost a child.
Oh, yeah.
We've had that experience.
I think probably every parent has, unless you don't go outside ever.
That is true. Do you remember a time when you were the lost child and we were desperately chasing after you on the highway?
On the highway?
Yeah. So,
oh, I remember.
Yeah. Maybe you can tell us what it's like to be the lost child. So I'll briefly share the story. We were on vacation in my mission. I took my family back to visit my mission and some friends came with us and it was another country. I served in Portugal. So I was the only one who spoke the language. So on the final day, we packed everyone up. We went out to get a taxi to the airport and we needed three taxis because of all the people and because of the small size of cars in Portugal.
Yeah, they're not big taxis. They're little taxis.
So I arranged the lead taxi and I put all the kids in there and I tell the guy, you know, these kids are going here. Let me arrange the other taxis. Language barrier. I don't think he understood that I was coming back to this taxi. So I go to taxi two, get everyone settled, go to taxi three, get everyone settled. Turn around, the taxi with all of our kids is gone.
Oh my God.
And I was the oldest in this taxi, and I was a late teen probably, and I didn't know the language, and I didn't know where we were going. And so we were just driving, and I was like, wait, I don't know how to. And like, we didn't have cell service or whatever to like contact, so I was just like crossing my fingers that we would end up in the same place.
Yep.
Because there was literally no way to communicate. And so I was the lost child zooming away on a Portuguese highway.
Yeah, sheer and utter terror. No way to contact them. They don't have the flight number. They don't speak the language.
I didn't even know which terminal we were going to.
Yeah.
But it was fine. We ended up in the right place and they found us like a minute after we got there. But
indeed. So I jumped in the next taxi and I'm like, go after that taxi as fast as you can. Yeah. We only caught them at the airport, but yeah, it was terrifying. So I think what he's saying here is imagine as an earthly parent, how you feel in that situation. Now imagine how Heavenly Father must feel like, no, please come back to me. I'm desperately reaching out to you, these lost children, to return home. And that really, for me, you know, humanizes it or makes it relatable to think about that intensity of feeling. Not just the idea of some like grand omniscient being out there who loves us, like, yeah, come back, but just that urgency and that intensity. So, O'Neills, have you ever had an experience where one of your children was not found or lost?
Yeah, I've actually been on, I can remember being on both sides of this as the lost kid and as the adult. So,
tell us about it.
Well, the lost kid. So I grew up in a small town in Colorado that did this big 4th of July celebration every year. Like the whole town came out to the community park and, you know, there was food and booths and games and all that stuff. And we were there one time. I was probably, it was when I was in kindergarten, probably the year summer after kindergarten. So I guess I'd have been 5, maybe 6. Oh, let's see. I've been 5, almost 6. Yeah. And we all went back to where the car was parked after doing activities for a couple hours, and we all got in the car and my dad wasn't there yet. And mom's like, someone go grab dad. And so my older brother jumped out to do it. And I also jumped out to do it, but I don't think my mom realized both of us went, and she may have even told me to stay in the car. I don't remember that part, but, and then, so I went in the park and I looked around and looked around and I didn't see him. And then I went back to the car, which was not there.
Oof.
Oh no.
And so I did my very best to walk home because I kind of knew how to get home, but there was a busy highway in between the park and where we lived, and I didn't know how to cross the street. And so I was standing there at an intersection crying, and a car stopped, and they talked to me and they wanted me to get in the car, but I knew you don't get in cars with strangers. But I knew my phone number, which is how I knew I was in kindergarten already, because they taught me my phone number. And so I told them to call my parents, and they did, and they came and got me. And it was, you know, I mean, I was lost. And the funny thing was they were all home, and I think maybe had just realized at that moment that I wasn't there. But yeah, but they came and got me and it turned out fine, but it was really scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder, you know, he talks about how life is challenging. Aaliyah mentioned that. No wonder sometimes we all feel a little, he says, overwhelmed, alone, isolated, or exhausted if we are those lost kids sometimes. So,
well, and I should probably add this. At this point in time, I probably had 8 or 9 siblings, maybe 10. So, like,
whoa.
Yeah, so I come from a big family. So there was a lot of people. And then the interesting thing, though, that where the tie-in kind of here is, he says, when they stopped at the gas station, he says, with precision, we filed out of the car, visited the services, and filed back in, resuming our journey. And I just love how, like, from the parent perspective, he's like, we were precise. We were on time. Everything was perfect.
And
we totally left a kid behind. And how often in our lives, that's just how it is. Like, I am precise and perfect. And God's like, yeah, you're doing your
we're
best.
Messing stuff up.
Oh, you tried so hard.
Yeah.
But you made a critical error.
Yep.
Well, after relating that to Father in Heaven's love for us and us as children of God, he talks about our identity. He talks about the redemptive power of Jesus Christ in that setting of us being lost. So, Burke, was there another quote here that you wanted to pull out that expanded on those messages? Or really any quote.
Or any quote at all. I really liked this quote here from, let's see. Oh, of course, Elder Holland and BYU Devotional. True religion is the tie that binds us to God and to each other. And he actually goes through the whole, explaining that the English word religion comes from the Latin religare, meaning to tie, or more literally to retie. And I'm sure I've heard this before. I didn't remember it at all, but I love that idea. It's like, because you think about religion is, yeah, how you learn about God and be boring, you know? But it's really not. It's about joining people together. And I've even said that here on this podcast, like God brings people together. Satan wants to separate everyone. And so, yes, that is what religion does.
I love it. So it's not just the Lord sort of, rushing back to us to find us or save us. You know, he's saying here, like, we're supposed to be saving each other, you know, reaching out, helping. So maybe in his parable, we are the policemen. I don't know, but, just a helping hand, trying to help each other. So I loved his extension of that idea of us being lost. So it's not just the job of the shepherd to help the sheep. Rivka, how about you? What was another quote that stood out to you?
So I don't know if you guys noticed this as you read it, but he quotes a scripture and part of a talk from President Bednar that were quoted in the last talk we talked about. He quotes the scripture, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And then he quotes Elder Bednar. It's the same quote. Making and keeping sacred covenants yokes us to and with the Lord Jesus Christ. In essence, the Savior is beckoning us to rely upon and pull together with him. We are not and never need be alone. And then the quote from the talk that I really love is right after that. He says, to anyone burdened, lost, confused, you do not have to do this alone. Through the atonement of Christ and his ordinances, you can be yoked or bound to him. He will lovingly provide the strength and healing you need to face the journey ahead. He is the refuge from our storms still. And I love that. I love that. To anyone burdened, lost, or confused, you do not have to do it alone. Why is it so much our inclination to try to do this alone? You know, I wonder. Sometimes, but
yeah, that pride, maybe, I don't know that really is a thing though.
I'm sure there are maybe as many reasons as people, but there does seem to be something, you know, in us that thinks that turning to him is a last resort if we just can't seem to manage it on our own. But right. He isn't
when all else fails.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, spoiler alert, if we're doing it on our own, it's going to fail. That's how I feel. So, you know, like, okay, we don't need to. His invitation to come, I mean, to have that be our first place we turn to. I love that.
Yeah, I love that, Rivka. That is a particular weakness of mine, so that really hits home for me. Thank you, Aaliyah, for knocking that down.
Stop fidgeting.
Well, Aaliyah, is there a time in your life when you have been burdened, lost, or confused, and you have tried to do it alone before you reached out to the Savior?
Oftentimes, I burden myself with quick progress, and I lack the patience to wait and be okay with not having the attributes or abilities that I wish I did. And so
just to clarify, you don't mean you burden yourself by progressing so quickly.
No. I want to progress.
The expectation.
Yes. And so when I do it on my own, obviously I can't progress because repentance only is possible through Jesus Christ, and repentance is change. So, and so once I figure it out, then I things start working, but I just have to have the patience to let that happen with the Savior instead of just trying to do it on my own.
Awesome. Well, I think one of the key quotes toward the end here, as he focuses on the love of our Heavenly Father, is, for the record, Jasper is witty, affectionate, intelligent, and rambunctious. But the key to this story is he is mine. He is my son, and I love him more than he will ever know. And again, he draws that parallel between, if I feel that way as an earthly father, then how does our Heavenly Father feel? So this is a hard thing, and we've had a couple talks about it already, but just internalizing that feeling of identity as children of our Heavenly Father and internalizing His love. I think it's part of just building your testimony and something He really focuses on here about making that real in our lives. So let's see what invitations He puts out to us. What did you find, Aaliyah?
At the very end, He has a list, a bullet point list of a couple invitations.
Yeah, the only thing it could make it better is if it was numbered.
If it was numbered. And if it quoted the 1828 Webster Dictionary. So he says, know your Father in heaven, know who Jesus Christ is, bind yourself and those you love to Him, and know who you are.
Awesome. Does He give you any promises to go along with those?
He doesn't necessarily promise things, but He gives just like statements of doctrine. So like Heavenly Father is perfect and loving. Jesus Christ is our Savior and Redeemer. God's plan of happiness is all about you. You are His precious child and of great worth. He knows and loves you.
Sort of just teaching some doctrine there.
Mm-hmm.
I think throughout the talk, He has given some promises that was sort of a recap of all the invitations and mm-hmm. But He didn't necessarily repeat them. But any other invitations and promises you found, Burke?
Oh, I marked so many invitations.
There were a lot, weren't there?
There were a bunch of them. I like this one. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. Of course, this is a quote from President Nelson. Yeah, I like that invitation. I mean, I assume that He's inviting us to do those things if we want to be true disciples. That is the requirement. Build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. But then there was a good question here that kind of felt like it was an invitation to, and I'm not going to be able to find it. It's where He talks about, are you going to church passively or actively?
Oh, I got it. Yeah. I love that one, Burke.
Two paragraphs above says, number two.
Are we passively attending church or actively creating communities whose purpose is to worship, remember Christ, and minister to one another?
Yeah, and I read that and I was like, well, but I went. So it's got to count for something, right? You know?
It counts for something.
Check the small box, you know?
Yeah, definitely this goes along with the other talks that have focused on not just checking the box, and we've talked about that a lot. But making it a higher and holier way by attending church with the idea of building community. I don't know about you, Burke. I find that as a challenging thing to do in Elders Quorum. That's a thought I've had for 20 plus years now, not just recently, just finding that community. Have you had any experiences in Elders Quorum where you've had a great, strong community?
I think that my current Elders Quorum is maybe the strongest Quorum of Brethren that I've ever been in. And for a lot of reasons, I think a lot of it, though, is our current Elders Quorum president, if he were on here right now, would say he's not that great at being an administrator. He ministers all the time, naturally, to everyone. And when we have... when we get together at church, they're discussions. They're not lectures. And we really talk to each other and we get to know each other, and people bring up hard things from their lives, and it's fantastic. But then also, I don't know if the reason I'm more connected is because I've actually tried really hard to do my ministering for the last couple of years. And so maybe that's why I feel more connected, or I recognize when ministering is going on around me. Those things all work together. And it goes with another one of the blessings that I marked in here. And he says, Jesus Christ wants you to know and have a relationship with your Father in heaven. And I feel like the reason he brought that up is because that's the blessing we get when we do these things. We get that relationship.
Ooh. As we relate to our fellow man or woman, we get a deeper relationship with our Father in heaven.
It does appear.
Awesome. Well, Rivka, why don't you close us out with one more invitation or promise?
He says, you are His child. If you are feeling lost, if you have questions or lack wisdom, if you're struggling with your circumstances or wrestling with spiritual dissonance, turn to Him. Pray to Him for comfort, love, answers, and direction. Whatever the need and wherever you are, pour out your heart to your Heavenly Father. For some, you may want to follow President Nelson's invitation and ask if He is really there. If He knows you, ask Him how He feels about you, and then listen.
Awesome. What a great way to end that. So you can work on this on your own through fervent prayer. You can work on it by serving others around you. You can continue with all those other fundamentals. So many ways to develop that relationship and feel that identity as a child of God. So another great talk. Our next one will be How Great Will Be Your Joy by Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And in the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, Aliyah is going to tell you how.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message us on our Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast.
Okay, I was on a train track just steamrolling to the end, but I want to grab Burke and see what else he has to add.
Well, I just wanted to add that this really should have been both Aliyah and Todd's favorite talk, because he quoted in the footnotes, if you look, both the General Hanton book and Preach My Gospel.
And Preach My Gospel. He quoted both. I saw.
Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you. You could just read chapters 1-4 of the General Handbook in General Conference, and that would be some of the best talks we've ever had.
True.
They're amazing. So thank you, Burke. And thanks to everyone else who joined us today. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.